but let me climb to her well-lit room upstairs and tell your wife the news. Some god has put the woman fast asleep."
"Don't wake her yet," the crafty man returned. "You tell those women to hurry here at once, just the ones who've shamed us all along." Away the old nurse bustled through the house to give the women orders, rush them to the king. Odysseus called Telemachus over, both herdsmen too, with strict commands. "Start clearing away the bodies. Make the women pitch in too. Chairs and tables, scrub them down with sponges, rinse them clean. And once you've put the entire house in order, march the women out of the great hall, between the roundhouse and the courtyard's strong stockade, and hack them with your swords. Slash out all their lives. Blot out of their minds the joys of love they relished unto the suitors' bodies, rutting on the sly." The women crowded in, huddling all together, wailing convulsively, streaming live, warm tears. First they carried out the bodies of the dead and propped them under the courtyard colonnade, standing them one against another. Odysseus shouted commands himself, moving things along, and they kept bearing out the bodies. They were forced. Next they scrubbed down the elegant chairs and tables, washed them with sopping sponges, rinsed them clean. Then Telemachus and the herdsmen scraped smooth the packed earth floor of the royal house with spades, as the women gathered up the filth and piled it outside. And then, at last, once the entire house was put in order, they marched the women out of the great hall between the roundhouse and the courtyard's strong stockade, crammed them into a dead end, no way out from there, and stern Telemachus gave the men their orders. "No clean death for the likes of them, by God, not from me. They showered abuse on my head, my mother's too. You sluts, the suitors' whores." With that, taking a cable used on a dark, proud ship, he coiled it over the roundhouse, lashed it fast to a tall column, hoisting it up so high no toes could touch the ground. Then, as doves or thrushes, beating their spread wings against some snare rigged up in thickets, flying in for a cozy nest, but a grisly bed receives them, so the women's heads were trapped in a line, nooses yanking their necks up one by one, so all might die a pitiful, ghastly death. They kicked up heels for a little. Not for long. Melanthius? They hauled him out through the doorway into the court, lopped his nose and ears with a ruthless knife, tore his genitals out for the dogs to eat raw, and in manic fury hacked off hands and feet. Then once they'd washed their own hands and feet, they went inside again to join Odysseus. Their work was done with now. But the king turned to devoted Eurycleus, saying, "Bring sulphur, nurse, to scour all this pollution. Bring me fire, too, so I can fumigate the house. And call Penelope here, with all her women. Tell all the maids to come back in at once."
"Well said, my boy," his old nurse replied, "right to the point. But wait, let me fetch you a shirt and cloak to wrap you. No more dawdling round the palace, nothing but rags to cover those broad shoulders. It's a scandal."
"Fire first," the good soldier answered. "Light me a fire to purify this house." The devoted nurse snapped to his command, brought her master fire and brimstone. Odysseus purged his palace, halls and court with cleansing fumes. Then back through the royal house the old nurse went, to tell the women the news and bring them in at once. They came crowding out of their quarters, torch in hand, flung their arms around Odysseus, hugged him, home at last, and kissed his head and shoulders, seized his hands, and he, overcome by a lovely longing, broke down and wept. Deep in his heart he knew them, one and all.